asked you to pray with me and ask the Lord to help me to preach His word. At the time of our reading here, Israel was in captivity in Babylon. They had been carried away there because they had sinned against God. They had turned to idols, and when people turn to idols and turn away from God, they're asking for trouble. And but anyway, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read the whole chapter, but it's only 11 verses. And I want you, if you're able to stand with us while we read from the word of the Lord. And forgive me if I don't pronounce some of these names just exactly right. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Acaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chishlu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let now thine ear be now attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us with his word tonight. Father, God, you know the burden that you've laid upon my heart tonight. God, I pray, help me preach with the anointing. Help me to preach with passion. God, help me to speak your word. Help me to not refrain, withdraw, but God, just to preach the truth. Lord, and state the facts and tell it, Lord, like you want it told. And Lord, I pray, anoint the ears and the hearts of this congregation. And Lord, may we all receive from you, for your word is blessed to our hearts, O God. And we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to go on and read just a few verses of the next chapter. I do appreciate you standing while we were reading there. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Xerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. And please notice the reading here. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen sitting also by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. These scriptures speak many things to us, but something that I felt like the Lord has dealt with me about this is to bring to your attention that when Nehemiah is here, the cupbearer in the king's house, he's somewhat of a servant, slave, if you please. And it was actually required of the servants that came before the king's presence to be of a happy countenance. He did not want sad people coming before him. He was a king. He wanted the people to come before him to feel like they was privileged to do so. And so Nehemiah did that to the best of his ability, even though he was in a foreign land. But one day Hananiah came, one of his brethren. He came from Jerusalem. And as he came, he began to tell him about the condition of things there and how terrible it was and how the people were in great distress and affliction and reproach, and how the wall of Jerusalem had been torn down. And so when Nehemiah heard these words, he became very troubled. A spirit of mourning came upon him, of weeping and crying, and he was troubled for the remnant of Israel and their situation and the condition of his homeland, and he wept and mourned for days. He became so burdened for his homeland that he humbled himself before God, and he began to fast, and he began to pray, and he prayed a prayer of personal repentance, if you please. And he prayed a prayer of not only that, but of national repentance. If you look back at that, you'll see where he prayed for the sins of his family. And then he prayed also for the sins of the nation of Israel. And it's from that I want to draw my thought tonight and deal with some things. I like to preach on the subject of America needs a miracle. America needs a miracle tonight. And I am preaching to my people. I am preaching to you, the people of God tonight, my church family, and my fellow Americans as well. And he prayed a prayer of personal repentance and national repentance, and he pleaded with God for a reprieve. That's what he was doing. He was praying for a reprieve, and that somehow God would turn things around. His heart became so heavy with a burden for his country, amen, that when he came into the king's presence, he couldn't cover it up. He was of a sad countenance. His heart was heavy. His burden was great. He could no longer cover it up. And when the king saw this, the king said, why are you a sad countenance? You're not sick. Oh, it's sorrow of heart. He recognized it. He could see that there was sorrow in Nehemiah's heart. When the king said this, at first Nehemiah was fearful, because he knew this could cost him his head to come into the king's presence with a sad countenance. But yet, because he had a burden on his heart, when the king said this, he just opened up. And first thing he said was, O king, live forever. He gave him respect and he gave him honor. But then he went on to explain to him, and he said, why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres or burial places, lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? My home is in ruins, king. Why shouldn't I be sad? Why shouldn't I be distressed? And as Nehemiah shared his burden, the king's heart was touched with compassion. And he asked Nehemiah, well, what's your request? What do you want me to do for you? And Nehemiah quickly whispered a prayer to God, because you can see where it said that he prayed. And then he made his request to the king that the king would give him leave and let him go to his own country and help build things back. And so when he said that, the king gave him letters of authority. And not only that, gave him access to materials that he needed to help rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. And you know, and all of this was nothing short than a miracle. God worked a miracle for him. I mean, here he was in a foreign land. Here he was in the, you know, serving the very king that had overthrown, amen, the nation that he was part of. But yet he's asking for help. But now he's getting help from this very one that would have appeared to have been in opposition. Amen. God began to move and he touched the heart of this king. And amen, he found favor. Nehemiah found favor in the eyes of the king. You know, I thought of this verse in Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now, how many of you believe God's word's true?
Amen.
Amen. I believe tonight that God can turn things around. I believe God can give America a miracle. Now, we know we need one. Our nation is sick. Our nation is diseased. And I am American through and through. I was born here. I was raised here. I am a citizen in here, of here. And I have nothing, amen, negative in a sense to say, except, amen, that we need to pray about our sins. We need to pray about our sins. Amen. But anyway, Nehemiah went to Jerusalem as he was sent to do. He reviewed the damage. He got the elders together and he went to work and he began to rebuild. And you see, when I read this scripture, it became easy for me to see that through prayer and repentance and faith, one man prayed and a national miracle was wrought. Not only him, there was others we read there. They also prayed with him. But as I thought on these things, I was reminded once again of the promise of God's word that is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our land needs a healing, folks. Amen. The only hope for America is God. The only hope that America has, amen, of getting a hold of God is if God's people, which are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, without repentance, there will be no reprieve and there will be no revival. There has got to be repentance. Amen. And I feel like it needs to begin at the house of God. But if America continues on the track she's going to find herself completely destitute of God. Amen. And in extreme distress, her stability is going to be stifled. Her economy is going to collapse. Her security will suffer. And her military will be muzzled. The land of the free will be the land of the fearful, and the home of the brave will turn into the home of the bewildered. And instead of having abundance, we'll be in want. And instead of being blessed, we shall be cursed. America's sins are many. A nation, amen, that is forgetting and forsaking the God of her fathers and embracing the gods of mammon, amen, and the gods of other nations. She's turned, and please listen tonight if you can and will. She's turned from humility to haughtiness. She's turned from piety to perdition. She's turned from purity to perversion. She's turned from prayer to pleasure, from righteousness to revelry, from law to liberalism, and from God to gold. Amen. A nation, amen, as a nation, she's chosen the broad way that leadeth to destruction. She idolizes immoral entertainers and athletes while she mocks and demoralizes men and women of faith in this day. Amen. America's parties and drinks and pops pills and indulges in excess. Amen. And since 1973, in legalizing abortion, America has murdered approximately 50 million, amen, Americans before they were ever born. Now, some may withdraw at the statement I just make. Amen, because they don't consider a fetus a person. Amen. But an unborn baby at any stage is a person in the sight of God. Amen. America is being bereaved of her heritage. What I mean by that is what the Bible says about it. Psalms 127:3, lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Statistics say more babies are killed in America, amen, through abortion or by abortion in one day than there were people killed on 9/11/2001. One study found that 86% of all abortions are done strictly for convenience. Amen. Unless this nation repeals and repents the legalization of abortion, it will have to answer to God for it in judgment. Amen. It will have to answer to God for it. Now, what I just said may be politically incorrect. Amen, by the politicians and by the judges of these modern times. But I'm telling you, amen, the slaughter of the innocent unborn is immorally incorrect. It's morally incorrect. Amen. In January of 2012, this very year, a letter was issued by the Department of Homeland Security that anyone who is an anti-abortionist should be considered as being a potential terrorist. That's you and me. I'm an anti-abortionist. I'm looked at as a potential terrorist in the eyes of Homeland Security. Now, I don't know if that disturbs you or not, but it disturbs me. It tells me how far this nation's getting away from God. Amen. The curse, there are several curses upon this country. One of them is the curse of alcoholism and drug abuse. Amen. Nearly 17.6 million adults in the United States at this present time are alcoholics or have alcohol problems. Alcohol kills 75,000 Americans a year. Substance abuse costs this nation $484 billion a year. Amen. You're talking about a national debt. That's a big part of it right there. Amen. The abomination of same-sex marriage, amen, is another curse upon this nation, because I say that in the sense of it's being promoted and pushed more than ever. The Bible is totally opposed to it. Totally opposed to it. Since 2004, six states have legalized same-sex marriage. I could name those states. I have them listed here, as well as the District of Columbia and two, amen, Native American tribal jurisdictions, Indians. Laws that would legalize same-sex marriage in Washington and Maryland were passed in this year, but each will be subject to a referendum during the 2012 November elections. They're going to vote on it. I hope they vote it down. On May 9th of this year, Barack Obama became the first sitting U.S. president to publicly declare support for the legalization of same-sex marriage. It's a mark against this nation. It's a mark of judgment that'll be against this nation, except it repent and turn back to God. And I know some feel,
well, it's set to go that way. It's going to go that way. There's nothing we can do. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can pray. We can pray. Of course, we can vote to the best of our ability according to our conscience. Even though there doesn't seem to be a whole lot to pick from these days, you must do the best that you can. But I must say this, as a Christian, your first priority is to pray. Amen. It's to pray God's divine will be accomplished. Amen. Immorality is a common way of life in America anymore. Husbands and wives betraying one another. Adultery rampant in our land. Amen. People living immoral lifestyles as if it is nothing. Men and women living together as husband and wife without being united together in holy matrimony. Young people having illicit relationships. Amen. Not only with one, but with multiple partners, thinking nothing of it. Amen. Unless there is a drastic turnaround, amen, this nation will be one of the most disease-ridden nations on the face of the earth because of these sins. I don't mean to scare you, but what I want to do is stir you tonight. Stir you to prayer. Amen. Because I believe through prayer and seeking God's face, amen, we have an option. We have an opportunity. Amen. For a move of God, a touch of heaven. Amen. Unless there's a drastic turnaround, America is headed for economic ruin. Amen. It's a shame that we own, amen, owe foreign countries more money than we can even pay our way out of debt. On. And yet we continue to give economic aid to countries whose inhabitants actually hate America and are against America, that prayed up and down the streets of their city and protest against America, burning our flag, and we're sending them billions of dollars. How foolish are our leaders, amen, to do such a thing, but yet they do it, amen. Why? They've lost sight, amen, of God and truth, amen. And oh, tonight, I'm preaching to the people who believe. I'm preaching to the people that love America, amen. I'm going to tell you, I don't think everybody in Washington loves America. If they did, they wouldn't be making the decisions they're making. It's as if there's an undermining force working along with them. Amen. But I'm telling you, we need to pray. Amen. As they protest in the streets of other lands, we need to pray in our prayer closets, and we need to pray at our altars. Amen. And we need to pray, amen, in the eating places. Amen. When we sit down to eat, we don't need to hang our head in shame or try to hide ourselves when we pray. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I believe. Amen. It can be turned around. I may sound tonight more like a patriot than I do a preacher, but I'm going to tell you I'm both. I'm both tonight. Amen. With the elections coming up next month, I can't help but be thinking about our country and how much, amen, it needs prayer. And it literally grieves me, folks. And I know it does many of you to see how our nation is becoming more and more godless. Sometimes I find myself getting angry, amen, at the politicians and the judges of our day, amen, that are ripping out the foundations of freedom that our nation was founded upon, and trying to place it, amen, with their own agnostic, atheistic ideas. We've got to have God or we won't stand. Amen. Our might is not in our military, it's in the Almighty. Oh, help me preach, Lord. Amen. I could say tonight, I thank God I'm a blood-bought Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but I'm also an American. Amen. I thank God for it. I love this country, but I'm troubled about her. I'm troubled about her. Y'all still with me tonight? Amen. Our forefathers turned over in their grave. I guess that's an old expression. I mean, I think you know what I mean by that. They'd turn over in their grave if they knew the animosity that exists in this land against Christianity and how far this nation has wandered from God. They'd turn over in their grave. And not only that, if the preachers of days gone by could see how far the churches have wandered. Amen. From the gospel that they one time stood and preached. Amen. They'd turn over in their grave as well. Amen. Amen. They couldn't believe the changes that's taken place. Amen. In our country and in the churches. Amen. Church organizations that used to stand for more moral purity are now ordaining homosexuals to preach the gospel. They can't preach the gospel. Amen. I'm not a bigot tonight. I'm not. I don't hate those souls. I love those souls. But their sin is despicable. Amen. Help me preach, God. Amen. There are those church movements that were once conservative fundamentalists, or that's what they called themselves at one time, and now they've become more like liberal leftists, amen, than they are even Christians, amen, and who declare themselves liberated from legalism. Liberated from legalism, that label they've placed on those that preach righteousness, and they call us legalists and religious bigots, amen. But those who used to preach from the Holy Bible, and many of them have replaced it with something that's more friendly. How do you say that? User friendly. That's what I'm looking for. They want a Bible that's not a Bible. They want a version that took out the blood, that's did away with his deity. I'm going to tell you, they do away with his deity and they do away with the blood. They might as well throw that book away because it ain't no different than any other book in the world. Amen. This one, it says holy on it. Oh, God. This one, it says holy Bible. Amen. Old KJV, I believe in it. I was raised on it, cut my teeth on it, preached out of it, seen hundreds of souls saved. Amen. I glory not in that, glory be to the Lord. But I've seen many a soul, amen, won to the Lord through the preaching out of this old, amen, Bible right here, this holy Bible. Amen. I've seen souls saved. My daddy preached it. Amen. His brother preached it. His daddy, amen, believed in it. Hey, their daddy believed in it. I believe in it. My son believe in it. We preach in it. Amen. This movement believes in it. We are going to stay with it. Amen. But many have replaced it with something more socially accepted, and they've done away with this old time faith and gospel. They've done away with the dress code, and now, amen, they're out for anything goes. Used to be people respected the house of God and how they dressed when they went to church. Amen. But anymore, it don't seem like they care how they dress. Amen. They don't. People, it's amazing to me how people go out and even public and dress anymore. Wearing pajamas. That's ridiculous. And some of them wearing to church. Some preacher ought to have a gumption enough to say, get home, get you some clothes on. Amen. Praise God. Say, well, you sound old-fashioned tonight. I am. I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. They've done away with the dress code and out for anything that goes, and many of their churches become more like religious social clubs rather than a house of prayer or a place of worship. You know, it's sad to say, amen, but when church people would rather play than pray, it shows their condition. I know there's a time for fellowship and there's a time to play and have good time, but when it replaces prayer and it replaces preaching and it replaces worship, it's out of place. It's out of place. Brothers and sisters, the Lord, I'm going to wind this up, but the Lord has laid it on my heart. Now this is for me and I'm asking you to join me. But the Lord has laid it on my heart for the next 30 days. To at least fast once a meal, one meal a day for a month. Now we're just about 27 days from the election, something like that, 28 from the election. We need God's will. We need God's will. We need God's will. Amen. And I'm going to ask for you to join me, amen, for a time of humbling. For a time of humbling ourselves and seeking God's face and praying and turning from our wicked ways. Being open that when we hit our knees or when the gospel goes forth in a message, being open that when God deals with our heart, if there's anything in our life that's unlike the Lord or that he's displeased with, we'll lay it aside. I was glad to hear Brother Todd testify the other service. I believe it was Sunday night. I'm not sure. Amen. But I remember him testifying, talking about, amen, he just got prayed back through here a week ago Sunday, and I am thrilled for what God has done in his life. Amen. Three, I give God all the praise and the glory tonight. But he stood and testified about things the Lord dealt with him he needed to get rid of and lay aside. And he obeyed God and stepped out and done it. Now I tell you, the best way for you to get where God wants you to be is if anything he deals with your heart's in the way, kick it out of the way, lay it aside, get rid of it. Amen. And live like God wants you to live. There is nothing in this world worth letting it get in between us and God. You know, things can get in our life, it'll hinder our prayers. It will hinder our prayers. I mean, Paul, wasn't it? Or one of the apostles gave counsel concerning husbands and wives. He said, you need to keep things worked out between you so your prayers is not hindered. You know, Christians need to keep things worked out between them so their prayers be not hindered. They need to keep sin out of their lives so their prayers be not hindered. Amen. When I go to pray for the country, I don't want my prayers hindered. I go praying for my family and your family. I don't want my prayers hindered, and I know you don't. I'm asking you to join me. Let's not wait till our country's laying in ruin. There'll be a lot of people praying then. Let's don't wait for that. Oh, Lord, let's don't wait for that. Let's pray now. Let's go to our knees in repentance. In repentance. Oh, but we're holiness people. We done passed that. Sometimes I wonder if we don't need a little more repentance in what we have. I remember the old time preachers, man, they preached that message a lot. Repenting and making things right with God, not just making it right, keeping it right. Amen. And if you make a mistake, pray and ask God to forgive you and get up and go on. But we need to pray a prayer of national repentance and say, well, I'm not doing, we're not involved in what the nation is doing, but we're here. It's our nation. And we can fight for our nation. We can fight hell. Amen. We can fight against hell because God's on our side. If we humble ourselves, God will help us. How many believes we need to pray for a national miracle? We need to pray for a national miracle. Sister Gail, get ready to come here. We better take this serious. I'm telling you, if America was ever at a pivot point, we are on a pinnacle. We are at that place. We need to go to our knees. If we don't take this serious, the next generation, if there is one, won't know the liberties that we know right now. They're not going to know it. 101 years ago, I'll close with this. 1911, President Woodrow Wilson said these words, America was born a Christian nation. Funny, isn't it? 100 years later, President we got saying opposite to that. No longer just a Christian nation. But he said America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness, which are derived from the revelation of the Holy Scripture. Unashamed to declare the Word of God to be the truth. Brothers and sisters, we know it to be the truth, don't we? Well, the promise is there, and the promise is still alive. I don't believe God's promises die. The promise is still alive. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I'm going to open up the altar tonight for people that want to pray for your nation. You want to pray that God would spare us and help us, give us a reprieve and give us a revival. That you would join with me and dedicate a month to praying for our nation. Amen. 30 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, whatever you can do. Amen. Make that the focus of your prayer. So I've preached you my heart. I've preached enough. I've not shouted and run and danced while I've preached, but I've preached from here tonight, folks. Amen. As God moved on my heart, I'm calling you to prayer tonight. I believe you'll stand with me on it. Let's come and seek God's face.